Okay, so you know my thing is my shtick is usually the holidays, and this is pretty close to a holiday. So, you know, Groundhog Day was yesterday. So we're going to talk about Super Bowl a little bit. Start the intro. Today's Super Bowl, and you know this is the 53rd Super Bowl. It's a day that comes once a year. It means different things for different people. People watch the game for different reasons. Some people actually watch the game. Some people watch the commercials. Some people watch the halftime show. Some people just come play board games, eat food, and have a good time. Sean's all about that one. Because, I mean, you never know who's going to be playing it. You got the Rams, you got the Patriots, you have the controversy from 2 weeks ago. You know, it is what it is. Today's the game. But at the end of the game, there's going to be some hero somewhere, whether it's Tom Brady or Jared Goff or whoever. You know, you have a legacy coach and Bill Belichick who's done this you know, it's the ninth Super Bowl he's been the head coach in, plus a few as an assistant coach. You got Sean McVay for the Rams, who turns, I think, 33 this week. So any of you that are older than 33, we're underachieving compared to what he's doing. But at the end of the day, ESPN, Fox Sports, NFL Network, all these groups of people are going to talk about what happened in the game. And then there's going to be other talk about what the commercials were about. And then there's going to be the gossip about what happened with Maroon 5 at the halftime show. But at the end of the day, there's going to be something to talk about. Somebody's going to either make a legacy today, or they're going to continue and make their legacy even greater. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today is legacy. Because somebody's going to do something special today, and at the end of the day, somebody's going to be talking about it. Now, for all of us, I'm sure that at some point we've had the thought. The thought has come. It says, how will we be remembered when we're gone? What are people going to think about us when we're gone? Sometimes it's what do people think about us when we leave the room? But this is the big picture. What do people think about us when we are going to be gone? We've passed on from this earth. We've gone to heaven, hopefully, and we want to know what people are going to think about us. Within each of us is a desire to make a difference, whatever that difference may be. We want to live a life that matters. We want to know that when we are done, that somebody's going to remember us for whatever reason, hopefully in a positive way, because that's what we want to be. We want to live in a way that makes it better for us having been here. We want people to remember fondly of us. We only have one life, so we have to make it count. The power of legacy is what we give, not what we get. It's about us and the effect we have on those around us. Everyone leaves a legacy, and leaving a legacy is what matters. Okay, so while researching this topic, I found this story. It was about a man told about visiting his brother in Florence, Alabama. I thought that might mean something to somebody around here. But visiting a brother in Florence, Alabama. While there, the brother wanted to show him an old graveyard out in the county. They drove along a remote county road and finally stopped near the ruins of a pre-Civil War plantation. The two men got out of the car and walked into the woods for about a quarter of a mile. There they found the cemetery for the plantation. They climbed over a low wall and began inspecting the gravestones. Most of the gravestones were 150 years old or older. Many of the markers contained phrases like loving father, beloved mother, darling son, rest in peace, asleep in Jesus, and so on and so forth. Eventually they came to the grave of the man who had owned the plantation for many years. Under his name, there was the date of his birth and the date of his death. And then there was a five-word statement that summed up his whole life. A man of unquestioned integrity. Just those five words. Nothing more, nothing less. That was the legacy that was left behind from him. That's what the people thought of him when he passed away, and they thought so much of that him, they put that on his gravestone. That's 150 years ago that happened. We read that statement, and we know that man had unquestioned integrity. That says a lot about who he was at that time. In a quote from Billy Graham said, "The greatest legacy we can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is the legacy of character and faith." Living a life of integrity goes a long way in passing on the legacy of character. This morning in class, we talked about how we model the behavior we want our children to have. If we live a life of integrity and a life of character, our children will hopefully emulate that when they get to the age. And so that's the importance. That's what Billy Graham's talking about. Living and modeling what we need, what we want our children to be. In the Bible, we read about men and women who left a legacy. We can start naming names. We can start talking about Noah. And we'll read Genesis 6, 7 through 9 about Noah. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. That's a pretty strong statement at that point. That's the legacy of humans at that time. God was ready to start over. Wipe everything off the face of the earth and start over because humans had gone so bad. In verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That changes history right there because of one man, the legacy he has, the integrity and the grace that was found by God. Verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. That's a big thing to say right there about a man. We're talking thousands of years later, we're still talking about that. We're talking about a man who was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and walked faithfully with God. That changed the whole course of history right there. God's ready to eradicate the human race and everything that goes along with it, but Noah was found to have grace in God's eyes. We know about the legacy of Moses from the time he was found in the basket by the Pharaoh's daughter to the time he led the Israelites out of Egypt and carried them through the wilderness. We still read about him. We know about David being chosen as the king of Israel. These are men of legacy, and they're women in the Bible too. But remember the one with the greatest legacy. The one that we're here today to worship and talk about after his death almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus is the standard by which we judge our lives. And we don't do very well. We all can admit that. But we have a standard bearer, the gold standard, the one we're supposed to emulate. It's difficult, but that is who we're supposed to be. And we still worship him today. Going back to the quote by Billy Graham, our faith is based on the teachings of and about Jesus. And our actions and beliefs about this faith are the basis of our legacy with our families and the people that we encounter. And I want to talk about people we encounter. Friday morning, I was talking to a student at Gallatin High School, and you can imagine if I'm talking to a student in an office, I'm assistant principal for those of you who don't know, usually something not great has happened. Now, it turns out it was just a misunderstanding. He had done nothing wrong, but it looked very shady at the time. All right, so I'm talking to this young man, and somebody in this room is mentioned. Face lights up. You think, well, Betsy teaches there. Was it hurt? No. Jim teaches there. Was he? No. Anybody guess whose name was mentioned in that person? That young man lit up. Mr. Dave. Yes. That's the young man that came through the REACH program. His family moved to Gallatin several years ago. He doesn't remember anybody else but Mr. Dave. And his face lit up talking about him. It's Justin McMiller, Javion McMiller, and LaMonica, Mintlow, and that little group. Yeah. There's a reason he was in the office. Not that day, but usually. But that's the effect that we have to influence other people. And we look around, you know, REACH is the cornerstone of what we're doing right now. And we have what we call legacies. At Tennessee, they have Vol for Life. They have legacy players. They have young men who come in and their dad played football for them. They're called legacies. Well, here, our legacies are going to be the young men and women who come through REACH. We have three sitting out in the audience right now. Two that are still members and one that's teaching, but grew up in REACH, right, Jaquan? Talking about you. Then we have the Sin girls who've gone through, who have come through REACH. And now we have the young ones who are corrupting all that REACH stands for, it seems like, at least one of them. Everybody's looking at you, Maddie. It's okay. But this is the future. These are the Sunday night, you come in, there's no differentiation. They're all together. The ones that come in on the bus, the ones that come in with us, they're all together. I think that's a great thing. That gives both sides, it gives us, we treat them no differently. And that's part of the legacy of this program, is treating every kid that comes through here the same in terms of treating them fair. Some we have to be a little harsher on than others, but that's the way it is. We're raising children. That is the legacy of this program and the what we can do. It provides a chance for every kid that comes through here to make a connection. Some of them are going to have fond memories of Dave. Some are not. And some may just forget the bad memories like Justin did the other day. But that is what we're able to do. We're able to influence young men and women who come through here while they're here. The definition of legacy is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. So that's taken. Jaquan, how old were you when you got on the bus the first time? Yeah. That's what his past is. And now he's here. Now who goes out and picks up the kids? Yeah, there he is. So that's transferring from the past to the present. That's making the predecessors that started this program, and now he's going to carry on the program. And he's come up here before and challenged us to make sure that we keep that program, because he knows the impact it can have on the young men and women in this area. Based on the definition of legacy that I just read in the context of life, this past can be transmitted in the here and now. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about what we do now affects what happens in the future. Whether it's be the Reach Kids, or whether it be if it's a teacher in a classroom, or us raising kids, our own kids, or coaching, or just influence we have on people around us. Now, my parents coached my brothers and me for several years in different sports. And by no means were my parents experts on the sport. Dad did a lot of studying. Mom did a lot of studying to get better at teaching the sport. But the connections they made with the young men and women that they coached. At Christmas, I talked to somebody who used to play for Mom and Dad. And he had just finished practice with his son. He comes in and he starts talking about remembering practice with my parents years ago. This is a guy that's 36, 37 years old. So we're talking 25, 30 years ago. He's thinking about remembering. And now he has the opportunity with his children. And he's realizing the blessings he has from what he learned from my parents and how to be treated at that time to now how he treats the kids he coaches now. That's a legacy. That's the legacy my parents left in the coaching community. And some people don't remember it. Some people do. And the ones that do, we'll pass that on. Because we were always treated fair. I was never the best player on the team. Ever. And I was told I was not the best player on the team. Because somebody had an ego he shouldn't have had. I didn't start. I got upset. Dad's like, you're not the best player. Sit down. Okay. It's honest. Sometimes I was not the best player, but I was the smartest player. So he put me in spots. I was always the tall kid. Always the tall kid. Kindergarten, I'm the youngest kid in class. Tall kid. Charlie's running the same problem. That's just the way it was. But we had a point guard who was a little reckless. He liked to 100 miles an hour, up and down the floor. And so Dad said, we're going to change the offense a little bit. Johnny, you're going to bring the ball up the floor. The offense was me get to the half line. That's when the defense could start. And then get double teamed and toss over and then let the play go. It was not because I was Magic Johnson or Allen Iverson or anybody like that. Just wanted to be smarter than what was going on. I could tell you what the plays were coming if they had called plays, because that's just what I did. I learned from my dad to be smarter because I was never athletic, even though it took me a long time to figure that out. That was a little, my legacy was not being too bright on that. So whatever our legacy is, it can be determined by so many different factors. There's no just blueprint that says, hey, this is the way you go to create the legacy of who you want to be. And what you want people to remember you as. Another person mentioned in the Bible left a lasting legacy. He did probably one of the most classic wrestling moves and famous face turns in the history of the world. Who made the greatest face turn in the history of the world in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Paul, Saul to Paul. Saul, evil, evil, evil man. Road to Damascus, made the face turn. He became the hero. We will get through this, I promise. And hopefully you remember something. But he went from the villain to the hero. His legacy completely changed. How many people remember Saul fondly? No one. But how many people remember Paul and his greatness? So that's what legacy. He had a he was given the opportunity to change his legacy, and he did right there because he was led to do that. And before he died, Paul took time to discuss that legacy. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, this is what he wrote to Timothy. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those all who have longed for his appearing. Paul knew death was coming. He was on death row in Rome. There was no chance of clemency. There was no chance of being pardoned. He was going to die. Was he worried? Not one bit, because he knew what the reward was. He knew where he was going, knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to heaven. It was Paul's way of, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, "Don't weep for me, Timothy. Know this, when I die, I will die smiling." How much stress does that take off a person? How much relief does that provide? He knows what his legacy is. He knows where he's going to go. And he knows what people are going to think about him for years. He knows he's going to heaven. In one book written by A.M. Hunter, and I just found this randomly on the internet, so I don't know who A.M. Hunter is, but he relates the story of a dying man who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place which he was going. So the patient's dying. He wants to hear from the Christian doctor what's going to happen. As the doctor considered a reply, he heard a scratching at the door, and suddenly he had his answer. He said, "Do you hear that?" he asked the patient. "It's my dog. I left downstairs, but he has grown impatient, and he has come up, and he hears my voice. He has no idea what's inside the door, but he knows that I am here." Now then, isn't that the same with you? Even though you don't know or understand everything that's on the other side, you do know who is there. And that makes all the difference. So we don't know what to expect. We've been, we read in the Bible the grandness of heaven, but we don't necessarily know for sure what's there, but we know who's there. We know who's going to protect us, who's going to take us in, who's going to give us eternal life. And that's what that story is relating. We don't necessarily know what, but we know who. And that's because of what Jesus did when he came to earth. He came to earth, educated us, told us what was going to happen, and we make that choice and know what we're going to do. So it comes down, what will be our legacy? Will people remember us how we want to be remembered? Or will they remember us for who we actually were? That's a scary thought. We have this idea, like star basketball player, and we have reality of not very good, but decently smart. How are we going to be remembered? The way we want to be, the way we are. Above all else, the legacy of Jesus centers around his coming to earth to save us from our sins. Do we live a life that reflects that gift? That's a hard one to answer. Do we live that every day? Do we live that every moment that we know that we're Christians and people can tell who we are? There's so many questions that we face about our own mortality. As we get older, things start falling apart. I'm only 44, but the memory's already started giving out a little bit. And it's a little scary because I always pride myself on being able to remember things and know things. And there are just sometimes I sit there and I have to go, "Betsy, what's that person's name? I don't remember. It just escapes me." And, that's starting to deal with the mortality. The body just doesn't do like you want it to. Luckily, I was never an athlete, so I've not had that. The people who could do things as young children, I know Blake was a basketball star. I know he's not in here, but we all know, I heard the great prowess of Blake Southall in basketball. Can he still do that today? Probably, because, when the bar is low, it's okay. But when we face our mortality, that's what we start thinking about, is how are people going to remember us? And that the goal should always be for a Christian that they remember us for our Christian walk. which is not an easy walk. It is not easy to do every day. Many people do it a lot better than I do. But I want people to know, remember me for certain things. And I have to make sure, that's my responsibility to make sure they understand what I want to be remembered for. And it's hopefully all good. So that's just the thought that I had at 5:15 this morning when I woke up to do this. I need to get better at that. By the way, my legacy is going to be the 5:15 in the morning wake-up call to do the sermon for the day. Because that's just, Dave can do it at 7, I can do it at 5:15. But these are just thoughts to have, because hopefully we're all at a spot where we're comfortable with who we are, but we need to challenge ourselves to go outside that comfort zone and help other people come to believe this. And some of you are very good at that, and some of me are not. And that is a challenge for me. But as we go forward at this time, we're going to just close out. And if you have any concerns or want to bring anything to discuss to us this morning, please feel free to come up here and share as we stand and sing.
From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood.